Welcome to the Militant Grind podcast, where today's guest, Adrienne Simmons, shares her transformative journey from battling low energy and fatigue in her early 50s to reclaiming her vitality with an inspiring 180 degree mindset shift. Facing the potential risks to her job and her quality of life, Adrienne embarked on a deep dive into health and wellness past the age of 50, leading to significant lifestyle changes that has filled her days with energy levels she rates from 8 or 9 out of 10. A single mom to a daughter in her 30s, an avid nature lover, long distance trail walker, and a voracious reader, Adrienne embodies the spirit, mind, and body approach to living a vibrant life. She's on a mission to debunk the myth of chronic fatigue as an inevitable part of aging, advocating instead for reclaiming our inherent vitality. Join us as Adrienne shares her compelling story of wellness, resilience, and the joy of living life fully energized. Adrienne, how are you today?
I am doing absolutely fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Oh, you look like you're glowing. I see it. I'm like, what? Golly, look at her. On your workout outfit, looking like you just finished a workout. I'm like, oh, I'm about to go to the gym after this. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So last time we talked, you told me you were going to Gambia in West Africa. So I know that when people go to Africa, I'm not sure, is this your first time going?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it was.
Oh, okay, cool, cool. So it's like a big, what do you say? I don't know, like the revealing type of feeling, like they feel like in awe and, oh, I feel like I'm connected here. I feel like I'm home and seeing all of these people that look like you. And then you're walking around and people don't even notice that you're not from there until you start talking. So how was that experience for you? Because I know you live in Canada and I know it's not nowhere near that black in Canada or African in or whatever. So how was the experience for you to go there and just see like people that look like you running everything and, you know, the connection that you had to the land?
Yeah, thank you for asking. And thank you for remembering that I did visit West Africa. For me, I've always wanted to go to the motherland, especially after watching Roots, reading Roots by Alex Haley. And I knew that I would one day. I did not know, and I did not have a particular list of countries that I had to see. I just knew that before my last breath on this earth, I would step on the continent of the motherland, Africa, where all Black people, I do believe, were initially rooted from. So a family member had another family member that was living in Gambia, and he invited her down, and she reached out to a few of us. We said, absolutely. And last fall, last November, we went to Gambia, the West Africa. We all did a little bit of research on what to expect because none of us had any idea of the Gambia. You hear about the more popular ones, South Africa and Zimbabwe and Nigeria, but you don't hear that much about the Gambia. You don't hear anything about West Africa. So we did a little bit of research. Mm-hmm. And the most common things that most of the sites talked about were the people are extremely friendly. The people are really friendly. They're very extending when it comes to visitors to the country. Mm-hmm. But be aware that there is garbage everywhere. It's just a part of life. There's just everywhere you look, you'll find garbage. And then they talked a little bit about the beaches as well, too. So mm-hmm. that's all that we could find online about the Gambia until we actually arrived. So without taking up all of my time, because I could spend the next 2 hours telling you about it, I was there for a couple of weeks. So the people were, they were absolutely right. They were friendly. They were courteous. They were welcoming. The fact that we were all Black, because my family, obviously, we were all Black. I'm so grateful that we had that opportunity. We enjoyed what we could enjoy. We met some wonderful people, locals, some other tourists as well, too. But unfortunately, what put a mar on the vacation for us and why I may not go back for a while. I'd be interested in going back in maybe 10 years to see what improvements and what the country may look like. So that was my overall take of Gambia, the West Africa.
Wow, that's a lot different than what I usually hear. But you did go to not one of the most wealthy countries in Africa. I'm sure if you went to South Africa or Nigeria or yes. any of the other countries that you mentioned, you would have had a different experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and so how was it for you? Because I remember you mentioning that your family's from the Caribbean, right?
Okay, so my father's family is from Bermuda. My mother's family is from Jamaica. That is correct.
And so how was that for you, being like someone whose family is rooted in the Bermuda, Jamaica, and then you being in Canada, and then you going to Africa? Because one thing that I have noticed that people that do have roots to Jamaica, Bermuda, Puerto Rico, or whatever, they feel like those are their homelands. They're proud to be Jamaican. They're proud to be from the Caribbean. But I did meet a Jamaican man one time in Atlanta, and I was like, "Oh, you're Jamaican." And he was like, "What is Jamaican?" I was like, "It's you. What do you mean?" "No, we're all the same. Don't, I'm not, we're all the same people. It's no such thing as Jamaican, Black, or whatever. We're the same people." And he got pretty upset. But I was just like, wow, I understand his perspective. But then there's a lot of people that take so much pride in being from or having ancestors
That is
from
correct.
different countries other than where they're from. Say, even
That is
me, I found
correct.
out that I had a great grandfather that came that's from Jamaican. But I was just like, it's cool. But then it's like, I can't really, that's not my home. So I could appreciate you saying, okay, I want to go back to the motherland, and it actually like being Africa, which is a rare case for people that have ancestors from the Isles, or I'm not sure. I know Bermuda's not the Caribbean at all, but I'm not sure what's it called. But yeah. So how was that? How did you get to that point?
The point of wanting to step my feet on the motherland one day.
Yeah, because I say you're not like, oh, I'm gonna go to Bermuda and this is home and Jamaica and this is home. You were like, no, I'm sure you've been to those places, right? Yeah, but then you're like, okay, no, Africa's my home. Because a lot of times, especially Gambia, because a lot of times I see people go everywhere in the world besides Africa. Like people will go
That's
to
correct.
Dubai, they'll go to London, but it's like they do not touch Africa at all. And our people or darker hued people, melanin people, African Americans, whatever. So yeah, that's a question I have to ask.
So to answer your question, for me, Africa first came to my radar, like I said, after watching the movie Roots. Prior to that, my parents really didn't talk about it that much. My grandmother immigrated to Montreal from Jamaica in the early 1900s. So she was a maid for wealthy white people. My grandfather, her husband, was a porter on the railway train. And then, obviously, me being second generation Canadian, my family didn't really talk a lot about anything beyond Jamaica. And I think it's because my grandmother didn't really have any knowledge, and they weren't taught, obviously, in their schools in Jamaica about where were our roots prior to Jamaica. Where did we come from prior to Jamaica? So I always will thank Alex Haley and his team for bringing the awareness of, we're all over the Caribbean, we're all over the world, but we do come from one central root. And that is Africa. And from there, when they obviously took us without our permission across the waters and deposited us in New America and the Caribbean islands, that's how we started roots in America and the Caribbean as well too. But we came from somewhere. So it's because of Alex bringing that awareness of the roots where we all came from, that I said, oh, okay, sure, I'll go to Bermuda one day. Sure, I'll go to Jamaica one day. I'll even go to Trinidad. I'll go to the Bahamas. I'll go to Barbados. I'll go everywhere around the world because I really appreciate the variety of cultures that every single group is able to embrace. But I know at the top of my list, I really want to know where my roots started from before Jamaica and before Bermuda. And that's how, when the opportunity came up by a family member to say, hey, does anybody want to go to the Gambia? I said, oh, you know what? I've never heard of it, but if it's my first opportunity to step feet on that earth, that ground where Kunta Kinte, and even before Kunta Kinte, where we all come from, that is what I am going to do.
I'm trying to I'm trying to see, but then I did the ancestry DNA and I found out that the majority of my African ancestors are Nigerian anyway.
Oh,
Yeah, and I assume I get my big head from the Nigerian side of my DNA. I was just like, "Who we?" But yeah. And so, how was it for you? We also talked about you having, I'm not sure you suffer from chronic fatigue. What was that actually called? The
chronic
fatigue.
fatigue. Yes, I
Oh,
did
just
in my
chronic
as I
fatigue.
chronic fatigue. It
Okay.
starts off as fatigue, and if it's not taken care of, and if you don't find a way to manage it, like anything else, it becomes chronic, where it becomes a regular occurrence. So initially, you're fatigued. It's every so often. It's every so often. But if you're not paying attention, and if you're not finding ways to mitigate it, to reduce it, just like inflammation, it turns into a chronic condition where it's living with you every single day. For a lot of people, it's just part becomes part of their life. So for me, it started off as fatigue, but again, wasn't paying attention, just still making really bad lifestyle choices. And then before you know it, all of a sudden, it's like, again today, I feel this way again today. So mine morphed into chronic fatigue.
Wow, and so what do you think is what's the cause from that?
Absolutely. Chronic fatigue is caused from poor lifestyle changes, lifestyle choices. I apologize. Your fatigue happens when your body is not getting the nutrients and the vitamins and the energy that it needs. And so, unfortunately, when it's not being fed with healthy nutrients, with clean water, with quality sleep, your body needs quality sleep so it can rejuvenate and renew and clean out cells while your body is sleeping. So if all of that is not happening, sooner or later, your body can only take on so much of a burden. Our bodies are miraculous beings, and our bodies, just by our own biology, we are able to self-heal. And I believe that's how God made us. When we were first created, we were made as self-healing organisms. But again, we go from living in a time where there was no industrialization. Fast forward to today, and we already know about the thousands of toxins and chemicals and everything in the air and the water and the food that we are ingesting. Some of it is out of our control. What we breathe in the air is out of our control, but the majority of it is in our control. What is it that you're eating? Are you eating more sugar? Are you eating more fried foods? Are you eating more processed foods, which all contains a lot of damaging chemicals? Are you really not getting quality sleep at night? So therefore, not allowing your body to do what it needs to do, which is clean up old and damaged cells. Are you not getting any physical movement? Are you not giving your body the physical movement that it needs? Our bodies were created for physical movement. We were not created to sit down. When we look back at our ancestors, they were on the go all the time. They were out hunting and gathering all the time. The only time they sat down was when they came back to their caves and they had to prepare the food. But even then, they were standing over the campfire cooking their food. And then they would sit down, have their meal. And as soon as the sun went down, they also went down. They went down with the sunrise, sunset, and they rose at the sunrise. So we have become, unfortunately, extremely sedentary in our lives as human beings. And our physiology doesn't understand, I'm not moving, I'm not getting the movement I need. Unfortunately, fatigue starts to set in. Managing our stress as well, too. There's that connection between spirit, mind, and body. So if our body is not getting the physical nutrition, if our body is not getting the sleep, if our body's not getting the physical fitness, and if we are also now compounding it with stress, all of that equals tired. Jeez, I just don't have the energy. The opposite of not having energy is being tired. You're tired, you're lacking energy.
Wow. And so what were some of the lifestyle choices that you've made to actually overcome the fatigue?
Okay, so starting off with the lifestyle choices I was making that caused my particular fatigue, a lot of processed food. I'm going to be honest back then, absolutely, a lot of processed food, a whole lot of coffee, because you know what? That always gave me the jolt that I needed to get back. Oh, a lot of sweets, a lot of donuts, a lot of cakes, a lot of pies. And on top of that, a lot of alcohol, because I was doing a lot of after work partying, a lot of after work socializing, and a lot of late night partying during the week too. So I definitely also got involved with a lot of party drugs as well too. So all of those lifestyle choices that I made, nobody forced me. I made those choices, not realizing how detrimental it would be to me years down the road, because I felt I was invincible. I was in my 30s, 40s, boundless energy to go. And I was still going out late. I was eating processed food. I was drinking coffee. I was eating a lot of sweets, but I had a lot of energy. I really did not realize that, you know what? Sooner or later, your metabolism will change if you continue to populate your body with negative lifestyle choices. Yeah, I was doing well in my 30s and 40s, and even as I crossed over the 50-year-old line, I guess my metabolism said, Adrian, for 50 years, you have abused me. You have not taken care of me. I can't hold you up anymore. And that's what happens to our bodies when it can no longer hold us up because we've kept on dumping in unfortunate bad nutritional choices, not getting enough sleep. For me, it was the drugs, it was the alcohol, it was the coffee. And my body just said, I'm sorry. And that's when the fatigue started to creep up on me. And I started realizing, you know what? It's going to affect my job. I was tired at work. Sometimes I'd close my door and I'd nap, and then someone would knock on it, and I'd jolt back up and I'd realize, my God, you've been down for 20 minutes. And it's, you know what? You can't keep up with this. And for me, what my why was is I always wanted to live a long life. Because I've been an individual that's always enjoyed a vibrant life, I always said, you know what? I'm going to live till 100. I'm definitely going to be one of those people to live till 100. And I would always look at Betty White. There was just something about Betty White and her vibrancy and the fact that she worked right up until 99. I really admired that. I really admired that. So for me, I always aspired to be like Betty White, to be a woman that even when I'm 99, whatever work I'm doing, I still want to be working when I'm 99. Why not? But when I started to feel the symptoms of the fatigue and the brain fog, it progressed to chronic where it was almost every day. And like I said, prior to my 50s, my energy level was 7, 8, 9. It was up there. But when I crossed over and my fatigue rolled over into chronic fatigue, some days, Sherman, I got to be honest, if I had a 3 to a 5 out of a 10, it was just that's where I was. And I realized, you know what? If you don't make some serious changes, Adrian, A, you're probably not going to live to 99. B, I became pre-diabetic as well too, with one of my diagnoses was diabetes in his early 60s. So I'm now in my mid-50s, and when I got that diagnosis, I just said, you know what? I could be dead in 10 years. Because my father died, like I said, in his mid-60s. And that's what finally made me sit up and say, okay, you know what, Adrian? You have to make a decision. You can continue with this life that you've enjoyed. And I got to be honest, absolutely, it was fun. It was working. Let me just grab some coffee after work, socializing, doing the party thing, doing the drugs. Absolutely, it was a whole lot of fun. But again, the older I got, I realized, you know what, Adrian? Is this the quality of life you want into your late 60s, 70s, and 80s? And I said, you know what? Not at all. I had a daughter, but she was getting ready to get married. I wanted to be there for her. I knew she was going to have children. I wanted to meet my grandchildren. And I wanted to be vibrant and alive with my grandchildren as opposed to sitting on the sideline because you know what? I'm tired. I'm lethargic. I can't think. And then sometimes I'm hesitant to mention it, but I will share this with you. My mother is an example of. I love her, but she's never taken care of her health at all. And now, in her late 80s, she is not living a life of vitality at all. She's skin and bones. She's tired. She's frail. She has every ailment you can think of. And I just realized, you know what? She is my mother, but she is my motivator. I do not want to look and feel anything like my dear sweet mother when I'm in my late 80s. So, what is it that I have to do today to ensure that I'm more like Betty White than my mother? I love you, Mom, even if you hear this, but I'm being honest and I tell her all the time, Mom, I cannot live my life like you. And that's when I made those changes to answer your question. Lifestyle change For me, it really started off with a mindset change. Everything must start with your mind saying, am I ready to make this change? Because if your mind is not ready, you might start a day or two, and then it's so easy to fall back on habits that we become accustomed to. So for me, it was, I really had to sit and think about, what is my why? Why do I want to do this? It was to be there for my daughter for her wedding. It was to be there for my daughter for any future children she may have. And for me, it was, I know that I have a purpose in life. I know that I have a gift. I know I have a talent, and I want to be able to share it with the world for a long time. So that is my why that I keep in front of me. It's my northern star that keeps me focused on, you know what, Adrian? You're going to have the donut, or you're going to maybe have a salad. Because I got to be honest, absolutely, temptation is there around you all the time. You see it on TV. You drive by it all the time. I sit by colleagues. I go by them all the time, their office, their desk, and everybody's got a whole lot of food going on in their lives that are processed that, you know what? Yeah, I remember what that Big Mac used to taste like. I remember what McDonald's fries used to take like. Absolutely red velvet cake. Absolutely blueberry pie. Absolutely. But I stop and say, you know what, Adrian? Your body does not need those foods. There's no nutrients whatsoever. So you have to decide, Adrian, are you going to give your body what it needs, or are you going to give you, Adrian, what you want? So for me, it boils down to, what does my body need versus what does Adrian want? And so I made a decision when I changed my whole lifestyle changes, and it started off with, I know my why. Let's now clean out my pantry. So cleaned out the pantries, cleaned out the cupboards, cleaned out the fridge. And now when I go shopping, my cart is fruits, vegetables, fish, lean meat. I have not drank juice in I don't know how many years. I have not drank Coke I don't know in how many years. I have not had a piece of pie. Maybe for someone's birthday, yes, I'll have a piece of cake. But normally it's, you know what? Yeah, but you know what? No, that's okay. Thank you. No, because I know that when I ingest sugar, when I ingest processed foods, when I ingest fried foods, it's like my body is saying, oh, okay, Adrian, it's not doing anything for us. Oh, okay, okay. But you know how you're going to feel the next day. So because my temple is so clean now, when I do have that Big Mac, because absolutely, once in a while, we're going out with the group, they go, absolutely. I really feel it. I really feel it the next day. I feel heavy. I feel tired. I feel lethargic. And it's the body's way of saying, serve you right. Serve you right, Adrian. I didn't need that, Adrian. And I don't know how to process it. It's still sitting inside of me because, again, there's no nutrients for the cells to suck it up from. So it just, it sits in you and it gets added to your fatty tissues. So for me, it was the mindset. And then slowly but surely, let me clean up what I'm eating. Let me join the gym. I joined the gym and I love working out right now. Managing the stress, social healthy networks. I forgot to mention that as well too. I knew back then that the network that I was hanging out with, that party crowd, I knew that they were not there for my best interest. So again, part of my whole lifestyle cleanup was I moved away from that particular social network. And now my social network, or since then, when I started cleaning up my life, there are individuals like me that are making and choosing to live a more vital life. So my friends are usually those in the fitness, health, and wellness space as well too, because we feed off each other, we mentor each other, we support each other, we hold each other accountable, and we're there for each other, knowing that, you know what, we're on the same mission. We're champions and we're advocates, and we're all here to set the word out there and say, you know what, anytime in your life, it's never too late. And I try to tell my mother that too. It's, yeah, mom, I know you're 88, but mom, and as long as you're alive, you can still start to make healthier lifestyle choices so you can maybe give yourself an opportunity to feel a little bit better tomorrow, to live a little bit better of a quality life, mom, because you are making smaller steps even though you're 88. So I will tell you, yes, she is going to every single week, twice a week, she's found a group of seniors that they do exercise. And then after exercise, they go into the, I guess, the church's community center and they have lunch. So she's getting her physical wellness taken care of and her social network. She's also improving her social network because we know what happens with a lot of seniors living on their own in solidarity, not connecting with others as well too. That unfortunately can also have negative effects on your overall health. So she's making an effort to build more of a social network as well too. So my mom is making just the small steps, and I'm really proud of her for that. Every time she'll send me a text and says, "Guess what? I went to class today." It's, "Mom, I love you. Good girl. Good girl. Good girl. Good for you for taking care of your body today, Mom. I'm really proud of you." And she'll smile and say, "Oh, that's so nice, daughter. I really appreciate that." I find that kind of gives her that encouragement. "Guess what? I'm going to go tomorrow, daughter. I'm going tomorrow." And it's, "Good for you, Mom." Another thumbs up. And I'll send her a star. Every time she comes home and texts me to say she was at class, I send her a star.
Wow. And so I really want to go back to what you said when it comes to the social groups, because I feel like that is so very important. Because a lot of people, let's say they'll go to the gym, but they're not like motivated to go to the gym like that. Like it takes a certain individual to psych themselves out and say, look, man, I'm gonna go to the gym at 5 days a week consistently for years. But when there's like a social group of people, like you said, holds you accountable that says, hey, where you at? I didn't see you today. Hey, you coming to the gym today? Hey, what's going on? Hey, you're looking better. Hey, you need to do this. Hey, giving you tips and things like that. That makes a tremendous impact. Say for the gym I go to, it's small, so it's like a club. But it's say, like one of my friends contacted me this morning. Hey, you going to the gym today? Okay, I'll see you there. And I'm like, okay, cool. I got to make it to the gym today just so I could show face like, hey, I'm still here. Hey, I didn't fall off, guys. I know you guys are depending on me and I'm depending on you, but hey, we all are leading the way. And it's such a beautiful feeling when you have that camaraderie. Like I really like tell people, I say one of my friends, he's man, my wife had a pass to the gym and didn't use it. And I was like, sometimes people need to be in classes or social groups and things like that. That really helps people like stay consistent.
Exactly. What I wanted to piggyback on what you were saying, as all beings, whether we're human beings, whether we're animal beings, whether we're fish beings, all beings require that connection with others like them. And we are no different. So we are social creatures. That's just how God made us. We weren't born by ourselves to live in solitude. And what happens is that when we do have healthy social connections, we're able to learn and feed off of and have fun and laughter with those within our networks that we really connect with as well too. So when it comes to ensuring that you're doing your best or able to maintain healthy lifestyle habits, which in turn become routines, you're right. I tell my clients, absolutely. It can be very challenging, especially before it becomes a routine. Now, when it becomes a routine, you don't think about it. It's like driving. Initially, okay, it's a habit. I have to pay attention. And then it becomes a routine. You don't even think about it. You just get in and you drive. You don't think about, I got to press the accelerator. I got to do the brake. So until a habit becomes a routine, and that, let's talk about exercising. You're absolutely right, though, especially for those who haven't exercised either ever or in a long time. It's so easy. You're right. The Monday, they're all gung ho, and the Tuesday, gung ho. But if they have an off day at work on the Wednesday and maybe they're a little tired, it's, you know what? It's so easy. I just can't wait to get home and plop on the sofa. And then Thursday, if I missed Wednesday, you know what? I'll start back again next week. And for some people, next week doesn't happen. So what I tell the clients that I work with is, when you are ready, and it has to be when you are ready, because only when you are ready will you go out and buy a pair of running shoes. Will you buy the workout outfits? Will you contact a couple of gyms and find out what the membership fees are, or whether you're even working out at home? You want to upload some of your apps, though. When you are ready, the first thing I say to my clients is, see if you can reach out to somebody that you trust and ask them to be your accountability partner. Because you will go through some days where, you know what, as opposed to driving that way to the gym, you want to drive back to your home and flop on the sofa. So just like in AA, when you feel that, you know what, I think I might want to have a drink, why don't you give your accountability partner a call and say, you know what, had a really tough day at work and I'm just tired and I really don't want to go to the gym, but you know what? I know I should. The accountability partner, because you've discussed it and you've come to an agreement, will say, okay, you know what, Adrian? What was your why for wanting to start the gym? Always take it back to the why. And for a lot of people, when you remind them what their why was, it's, you know what, you're right. I want to be there for my kids. I want to be there for my parents. They're getting older, and I'm the only child living in this city, and my parents need for me to be strong as they're getting older. Okay, you know what, you're right. Let me make that beeline and let me go to the gym. And it's so interesting that even though they were tired and they were ready to go home, after that call, they go to the gym. You know what happens when you work out? The endorphins that are shot in your brain and the dopamine, you feel amazing. So when you do go home, it's, you know what? I'm really glad I made that call. So it's important to have an accountability partner when you're starting off on any journey, whatever the journey is that's going to require you to make some lifestyle changes. Have an accountability partner that they know that you are giving them permission to hold you accountable to what your why was from the get-go.
Yeah, and that's very powerful because I say I have accountability partners that'll say, "Hey man, what's going on? You ain't been in the gym, you're getting chubby." But then I say I have an internal accountability partner because my parents were like so on, like my parents work out, they're into fitness. And
Wow.
I say,
Wow.
yeah, if you see my parents, you'll be like, wow, they're in their
And they
mid,
still work out today?
yeah, in their mid
And how old are
60s,
your parents?
65 and 64.
Excellent. And do they work out together?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's a
Okay. Okay.
treadmill. My mom, but my mom is say, my mom has never, I never seen my mom chubby or gain weight or anything like that. Yeah,
Wow.
like
Good for
ever in my
her.
life. Yeah. And it's crazy
Good for
because
her.
usually women fluctuate with weight depending on what's
Absolutely.
going on. But her, oh no,
Absolutely.
she's gone a diet. She's like a
Excellent.
herbalist. We grew up, we were
Excellent.
vegetarians. Like we always had strict regimens. And so if I go to my parents' house and I'm chubby or I'm looking like this or looking like that, because I have fell off a few times, they're like, "What's going on? You need to go to the gym." They're just on me. So I have that internal dialogue that'll push me because that's what I grew up on, militant grind. But then I
Yeah.
also notice that people don't really have that because they never really had to be accountable in that kind of way. Let's say if you get a little chubby, nobody's going to say anything. Nobody's going to hold you accountable. Your family's going to say it's okay because they're eating like that. But then for me, it's, man, my dad is not going to look better than me. So I got to stay at it. And it's,
Sherman, let me.
yeah.
I wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever asked your parents what motivates them to stay on track when it comes to them living a healthy lifestyle? What is their why?
Shit. I mean, I already know my mom's dad died at 50 years old from heart failure. And while he died, and while he died, my grandmother was in the hospital battling leukemia. So sickness in the family is, pretty prevalent. Like I have an aunt that died at 43 from health issues and things like that. And my dad, his grandparents died early. His parents lived pretty. His mom, Pat, my dad's mom passed away last year at 83. His dad passed 12 years ago at 75. For them, it's more so, I want to live a long, healthy life. I feel like that's probably like the premise of them seeing people go through these problems like within the family. And they're like you, I don't want to be like that. So my motivating factor is my grandfather died at 50. It was like the next year I was born. He died in July 85. I was born April the next year. And so it's just, wow, I never met him. I heard great. He was a great person. He did a lot of good things in the community. But it's just like when I was younger, I was like, wow, 50. But now that I'm in my 30s, I'm like, 50 is young.
That's right, exactly.
What?
It's right around the corner.
Yeah, I'm
Exactly,
like, I have
exactly.
friends older
Oh
than
my
my grandfather
God.
when he died. Like, I literally, like, I have friends out of, "Hey, man, what's up? What's going on?" And I'm like, "You're older than my grandfather?" And we was like, crazy. Like, that's a super young, it's not that young, it's relatively young. So for myself, I'm like, wow, I don't want to leave behind. I have young children. I'm like, I couldn't imagine me leaving the earth and they're like 10 or 12. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Exactly. To continue with that, it's an individual choice. Obviously, it's an individual choice because we're responsible for ourselves. And there are just, for me, what I've realized over the years, especially as I've continued on this path of making healthier lifestyle choices, I've just realized that there's not enough people choosing the quality of life that they would like to live. They're just living by default. They're just living
Right.
by default. They're living by what's comfort. They're living by what's easy. Now, to be honest, there are some individuals, lower income individuals, that maybe as much as they'd like to be purchasing farm raised and organic, it's an economic factor why they can't. And you know what? Kraft dinner is what I can afford, even though it's processed. So I'm not speaking to that population. I am speaking to the population that can afford to make healthier choices when it comes to their nutrition and their fitness. And I will always wonder, you can live a better quality life. You can live a life of longevity, but why do you choose to continue to make unhealthy lifestyle choices? We all have the information. Anybody living in this day to day knows the detriments of sugar to our body, the detriments to fried food, the detriments to processed food. But look at the revenue that these organizations are still making. I often wondered, you know what? If everybody stopped going to McDonald's, if everybody stopped going to Taco Bell, if everybody stopped going to wherever it was, what would happen to these large corporations? Would they now pivot and say, you know what, let's stop making the burger and maybe let's start making more salads because we really want to still be able to provide for the people living in our neighborhoods. We still want to make money, but these people are saying they don't want burgers anymore. For me, that would be a day of reckoning when we see all of these fast food companies saying, you know what, my sales have dropped. Nobody's eating burgers anymore because people's minds have said, you know what, enough is enough. Enough is enough. This burger isn't helping me. I'm choosing the salads instead. I really wonder what our landscape would look like if that was to ever happen. But until then, Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell, pizza, wherever, you know what? They're going to keep on making a whole shitload of money because you know what? 9 out of 10 people, you know what? A salad or a Big Mac. Oh, what's easier? Salad, I got to go and buy the different ingredients and then come and put it together and chop it up. Big Mac. And you know what gets to me as well, too, Sherman? I don't know about in the States, but I know here most of those places have drive-through. And I will look at the line of people sitting in the drive-through. Maybe the winter, yes, here it's cold. You don't want to get out of your car and go into the restaurant. But when there's no more snow, when it's fairly mild outside, as opposed to parking, and it's not like it's a mall parking lot, you're going into a McDonald's. You know, the parking lot's only so small. So instead of you parking and walking inside, just giving yourself a little bit of exercise, even though you're going to go inside and eat French fries, but you can still give yourself the exercise. Sherman, you should see the lineup of cars. And I drive by it and I say, really? Not one of you. And the parking lot's empty. The parking lot in front of McDonald's is empty. Everybody's in the drive-thru, and that's where we are today. We're going to eat some fast food, and we're not getting out of our car. And you wonder why we have chronic fatigue, chronic inflammation, mental illness, and on. Because you know what? Our bodies are saying, I'm tired now. I'm tired now. You keep on just loading me. And I can't do it anymore. And the body breaks down, and the body goes, you know what? I'm sorry, I love you, but this is the result of it. I want people to, I am an advocate. I want to advocate for a change around the overall mentality when it comes to what are some small changes I have to make if it's going to equal a better quality of life next month, next year, the year after. I'm not saying make grand changes. I'm not saying bam, make grand changes, because that's almost impossible for someone to say, I'm going to stop everything today and create a brand new lifestyle tomorrow. It's just small steps. You know what? Let me just maybe not have a McDonald's today. And let me maybe, when I go into McDonald's, maybe have a salad. Let me maybe not have this today and instead have this. And for me, I say, see how the body reacts. If you maybe take 1 week and eat clean as opposed to eating processed, I'm telling you, Sherman, you would be surprised at the amount of energy that your body can now generate at the end of that week. So once you feel that, wow, you know what? I haven't felt this way in a while. Why not choose to, I want to feel this way next week and the week after. And the only thing I changed is I ate a little bit more nutritional last week. and look at the results. So for me, the results are definitely worth making those small changes for.
Yeah. And I'll put it like this. Like, say I was talking to a family member and I was like, even your dating choices change dramatically when you feel and look healthy. Like, somebody could lose 15, 20 pounds and look totally different. Your options are totally, now people are like, whoa, wow, woo. And I hate to say this, but whatever. Even sex will be better for you.
Absolutely. Keep
You
it
know?
real.
Like,
Keep it real.
yeah, feel
Ugly.
better for you. You could be better performance.
Absolutely.
It's more than just the aesthetic. It's like the things that you really desire. Sex is a powerful desire. We all know
Yes.
that. It's powerful. So it's like,
Absolutely.
imagine telling people, hey, if eat healthy and do this, you could be a better performer. It'll feel better when you climax and all of these different things, but
Exactly.
body
Exactly.
is it's not filled with all of those toxins. And I tell people that, and they're just like, oh, I'm like, okay, try it. Eat a salad versus eating something that was like filled with oil and go do your thing and see how you feel. Oh, wow, I can feel the difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you of course you can.
Absolutely.
Like your blood,
Absolutely.
especially for men, it's like your blood flow. I remember when I was a teenager in sex ed, I was like, hold on. So when a man has an erection, that's blood? I was like, what? How I was confused. I didn't know what it was. Like,
I
oh,
know.
blood feel. And now I'm just like, a lot of men that, like, say a woman asks me and someone else, do you guys have a hard time getting an erection? Because a lot of men in their late 30s or 40s or 50s, they can't get up. But then it's because they're not, their blood flow, they're not active. They're just
That's
sitting
correct.
around watching TV. They're
That's
eating food
correct.
that's
That's
clogging
correct.
their arteries. So it's like, how is the blood gonna flow and
Go.
get you up there?
Bingo.
But then
Bingo.
it's say, if a man is in shape and he's fit, and a man just belly hanging out and he's just there, the human brain automatically tells a male or female that person is a better option for you. Like, we are attracted to healthy looking people. It
That's
doesn't
right.
matter.
That's
Say for
right.
some people, I'd be like, it's not the fact that people are ugly, it's just that they're unhealthy. And they can't find anybody that will be attracted to somebody that looks unhealthy. Like, it's not gonna happen. And
Definitely.
I wish some people
Exactly.
will recognize that, because it's like, say people lose weight, or people, like, say, get bigger, nice legs, and you look more toned, you look more active. The human brain is gonna be like, wow, that might be somebody you wanna procreate with. That might be somebody you
Absolutely.
wanna join. It's
Absolutely.
way deeper than a lot of people tend to put it.
Really
Not to say
imagine.
that the way you explained it was a problem, but I was just like, wow, it really hits all kind of aspects of our life that we're unaware of.
Yeah,
You know?
absolutely. It goes back to people say body, mind, and spirit. And for me, that's taking the external to the internal, whereas I believe it starts from the inside. So I say spirit, mind, and body, and it's all interconnected. So going back to what you said when you were talking about our virility as males and females as well too, if we our bodies just ask us for simple things, and that's what I try to simplify for everybody. It doesn't have to be complicated. Our bodies are just saying, you know what, just give me some quality sleep, please. Just give me some quality food. And when I say quality food, foods that come from a root. Let's keep it simple. Fruits that come from a root or foods with only one ingredient. Our bodies say, you know what? I know it's going to be a little difficult. I know in this environment, in this climate, but if you can get a hold of clean drinking water, I know that's difficult for a lot of us. Our bodies say, you know what? Just give me a little movement. No one's saying you have to run a marathon. 20 minutes a day, just give me some intentional. Not walking from the bathroom into the bedroom or from the bedroom to your home office desk. The body is saying 20 minutes of intentional exercise. The body is just saying, you know what? Just lower the stress a little bit. Just lower the stress. Go watch a funny movie. Go hang out with somebody who makes you laugh. Go and hang out with somebody that makes you feel good about yourself. And then the next thing the body is saying is, you know what? Just make sure you're hanging out with some nice people. Just have a healthy social network. So sleep, nutrition, physical movement, stress management, and social healthy networks. You see those five pillars? The body is saying, if you just give me that, and that will feed your spirit, social healthy networks, your mind, how you connect with people, what you think, how you're happy, reducing your stress levels, And your body, nutrition, sleeping, and physical fitness, the body is saying, that's all I want. And I will reward you with vitality, energy, fun, enthusiasm. So I tell people, keep it simple. It's quid pro quo. You do for me, I'll take care of you. You don't take care of me, I'll do my best to still hold you up. But sooner or later, you know what? I can only take on so much burden. After a while, I'm gonna break down. And like you were saying, these young men in their 30s, in their 40s, they can't get an erection. I'm hearing about that. I've been hearing about that for a while. Young women are not able to get pregnant. There's so much toxins and chemical and radiation and infections and just all around us that we can't control. But what can you control? Because we're fighting a battle. We're fighting a hard battle. We're fighting against climate change. That's a high mark to hit. But in our own daily lives, why compound it by still eating processed food? Why compound it by still drinking water out of a plastic bottle? Why compound it by being on your phone in your bed and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you got that bright light in front of you? Why compound it by just sitting all day and sitting in your car in the drive-through as opposed to getting out and walking? Why compound it by that stress? I'm stressed and I'm stressed and I'm stressed. I'm stressed all the time. And why compound it by continuing to be in a social network of friends that don't have your best interests? It's all negativity and negativity and negativity. And you're part of that network. Your body is saying, you know what? You're giving me everything that my biology, my physiology wasn't made for. God didn't make me for this. I don't know how to handle it. And as a result, the body breaks down, inflammation, chronic fatigue, brain fog, and on, because the body says, you know what? I'm sorry. I can't help you anymore. So we make a choice, implement these five small choices, and reap the rewards. It's your choice.
That was a great way to end. I don't even know. I almost got to be like, what could we end this with? I feel like we could end it with that. That was powerful. I feel like you were just speaking to my soul. Like, why compound it? That was brilliant. That was brilliant because you're absolutely right. Like, we just have to do what we can control. Like, anything we can't control, okay, we could worry about it, but what can you control is something that you need to do. And it's crazy because I say, I have an Apple Watch, right? And I love how you say, get out and go in and grab it because I say, if I'm going to the store and I'm walking around picking groceries, I'm like, what? I'm burning calories. That burns calories. Walking my kids to school
Exactly,
instead of driving them
exactly,
burns calories. Cleaning up
exactly,
the house, walking around burns calories. You just have to be
exactly.
active in some kind of way. Walk around the block. Instead of watching TV, just say, okay, I'm gonna clean something up. I'm gonna place these here. I'm gonna go in the garden. There's all kind of ways.
Yes,
I'm a garden.
yes,
There's all kind
yes.
of ways we could be active. It's not
Exactly,
just get active. Don't
exactly.
Instacart, go.
Oh,
Go around, walk around
yes.
the store, look at the items.
Yes,
It's
exactly.
like,
Another thing, just really quickly to say to that, how many times people fighting for the closest parking spot when they get to a mall? It's, you know what? You know how many spots are way back there, but we have that mentality. I don't want to be all doing all that walking. And people fighting, and I'm sure you've seen clips where people are fighting for a spot. So you know what? Park a little bit further, use that opportunity to just give your body a couple of more steps. Especially if the weather is nice. Okay, when it's cold in winter, yeah, you don't really want to be walking that far. But you know what? When the weather is nice, come on. Have we gotten to the point in our society that we can't even walk, park our car a little bit further and walk a car? Come on. Anyways, Sherman, that's okay, Sherman. I get frustrated. I'm sorry.
I totally understand you because, say, for me, I just find a parking spot. I'm like, all right, cool. That's not crazy far. But sometimes I park far and I notice that I'm too far. I don't go back to my car and park closer.
Good.
It just depends. If I have my kids and everything with me, I'm like, okay, that's a little different. But if it's just me, man, I don't care. It's a couple extra steps. But then those couple extra steps make like a huge difference. Like,
Your body is saying, thank you. And see, for we have to realize that our bodies talk to us all the time. They don't talk like you and I are. They're not able to talk verbally, but our bodies talk to us through either pain or through pleasure. So when our bodies are giving us a lot of energy, that's our body's way of saying thank you. Thank you. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Enjoy sex. Enjoy your workout at the gym. Enjoy the run. Enjoy time with your family. Laugh a little bit more because you're mentally feeling healthy. But when you feel that back pain, that knee pain, you get up from your desk and it's ow, the body is saying, look how long you've been sitting in that one spot. You haven't given me any kind of exercise. You sat down at your desk at 9 o'clock. It's now 1:30. You haven't gotten up once. And when you do get up, you go downstairs, you grab a coffee, you grab a donut, you come back to your desk, and you sit again till 5 o'clock. And you wonder when you get up. Jeez, you wonder why the body is saying, come
That sure
on.
happens to me. That honestly, one of the main reasons why I work out is because my body will be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you've been doing this consistently for years. Yeah,
Bam,
okay,
bam,
you don't want to work out?
bam,
Okay, here's a back pain. Boop. Okay, here's this pain. Boop. Here's a lat pain. But
bam,
like, it's crazy because,
bam,
and even when I
bam.
stretch, it's like I end up, say, I'll be so in tune with my body and I'll stretch in the kind of way and I hear clap. And I'm just like, oh, and my body is okay, now you feel better. Then I'm like, then I
Bam.
just do like an awkward type of movement. It's just okay, there it is. But it's just crazy that you say that because I feel that way. I'm like, it's not that, like you said, it's not that you hear a voice. You just hear something. It's just like a feeling you get. Maybe you should get up and lean backwards and stick your chest up.
Bingo,
Yeah,
bingo.
it's weird. I swear I feel the same thing, but I thought that, I don't know, am I spiritually inclined? But it's not, it's more so like the body is letting you know. Maybe you should go
Yes,
like this for some reason.
yes,
Oh, okay.
yes,
I get
yes.
why you're telling me to do that.
Yeah.
It's huh? Because I end up doing like awkward things that I'll never really think to do. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Seriously, like doing like cat poses and stuff like that. Yeah,
Listen.
I'm that person.
Yeah, we're not, I don't think it, I believe it's because we're not taught to listen to our bodies. We were never taught that in school. And some people know and some people don't know. And for me, that's one part of my advocacy when I'm out there doing my presentations, when I'm out there connecting with individuals. It's like, start to tune in to your body. Start paying a little bit more attention to those little feelings that your body is just nudging you. And it's your body's way of saying, you know what, it's slight now, it's slight now, but there's something going on inside. But you know what we do, right? We ignore it and we keep on doing what we have to do. And then maybe a couple of weeks later, the body again, you'll feel that nudge, but you'll feel a little bit more. But Sherman, again, so many of us, we ignore it, don't we? Until the point where the body says, really? And bam, when you get that sharp pain, it's when the body says, how many times have I said Sherman? I've given you Sherman, but Sherman, you ignored me. And now, unfortunately, it's inflamed. And at this point, it's going to hurt you a lot. And that's when someone will sit up and say, God, I've got knee pain. Maybe it's time for me to go to the doctor. And that's when sometimes they find out, you know what? If you had come in about a year ago, we might have been able to do something for it. And you're right. When you stop and think, it's, you know what? I did start feeling a little something, but I shrugged it off. I shrugged it off. I shrugged it off. I tell people the first time you feel a little something, just say to your body, okay, what's going on in there? What's going on? Are you telling me I need to pay attention? And the body is saying, yeah, there's something going on. You haven't been paying attention. It's now inflamed in that area. Take care of me before it gets chronic. Just please take care of me before it gets chronic.
Because it does communicate to you through pain, seriously. But then it say I was deadlifting, I got a little back pain. And with that back pain, I'm noticing how you really need every part of your body to be on point. Say if
Yes.
my leg is hurting, I'm like, man, I didn't even know I used my leg this much. It's like I didn't know
Ah.
about I used my elbows this much. And it's like the body, every part of the body is so
Yes.
vital. Like
Yes.
you have to make
Yes.
sure it's active and working, but it's we aren't the type of humans that are walking around hunting and doing
Gathering.
all of these different things. It's we look at working out as like a chore, but it's no,
It's
this is
damn.
something that we have to do because we're human beings. And it's scary because I told a friend yesterday, I was like, it's crazy that we could live our entire lives and never leave the house. You
That's
could have
correct.
a
That's
job, you could
correct.
have
That's
food
correct.
delivered to
That's
you could
correct.
have clothes, you could have
Yes. Yes.
furniture. You
Yes.
don't have
Yes.
to leave the house ever. And it
Sherman,
is Scary. I'm like,
Sherman,
what are we turning
Sherman,
into?
Sherman, exactly. This is where we are in 2024. Society has made it so comfortable for us to live in solitude and a sedentary life. And again, I think it was accelerated as a result of COVID and being locked inside. And for a lot of people, they realized, you know what? I don't have to go out. I really don't have to go out. Like you said, anything I need, it's just a phone call away. And unfortunately, after COVID, a lot of people did not revert back to, let me start doing what I used to do. I used to go out. I used to walk here. I don't have to. Because again, over COVID, you got used to it. And then we fall into a pattern of comfort. For so many people, it's about comfort. Why do I want to cause myself any discomfort to go to the gym? Why do I want to cause myself any discomfort to get out of the drive-through line and have to park my car and go inside Starbucks? Why? I can do it from the comfort of my home. Society has allowed us and given us permission to get very comfortable, to get very comfortable without realizing, oh, there are side effects. Oh, there are definitely side effects. Oh, yeah, no problem. You can call DoorDash. You can call Uber for everything. But you know what? You keep it up, though. You keep it up, though. You see, a year from now, what are you going to be looking like a year from now? What is your insides going to be looking like? What's the quality of your life? If you happen to decide that, you know what? After being inside for a year, I'm going to go and do a bike challenge. You know, they have all of these rides, these bike rides. The minute you try to get on your bike, and you try to ride for more than 2 blocks, remember, your muscles haven't been exercised, your physiology hasn't been exercised, your lungs haven't been exercised. And that's what happened to me when I started my running routine. The first time I started, I ran a block and it was like, because you know what? I was a smoker, bad habits. And again, I didn't realize what effect it would have on my lungs and my physiology until it was time for me to try to run. When I got on my bike after that, I rode for 2 blocks and it's and it's shit, Adrian, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. And a lot of times we don't stop and equate to, I wonder if it's because I've been eating all that processed food. I wonder if it's because I've been sedentary. But we now know through education, you know what that's why. Stop kidding yourself. Stop lying to yourself. You know that's why you're out of breath after you climb 5 stairs. You're 40 years old and you're climbing 5 stairs and you're out of breath. Why? Because your body is carrying that burden of all that extra weight. Your muscles are soft. Your lungs are not used to that exertion. And all of a sudden, you're asking me to walk 5 steps. Your body's not used to that. And so your body reacts by, you better be careful you don't have a heart attack. You better be careful.
Yeah, the muscle is very important, but people think that muscles is just for shows. No, muscles are in everything, like in your
We need our
face, in your
muscles.
eyes,
Come on.
in your
Come on.
eyebrows. It's like it's
Come
vital.
on.
Like you have
Come
to,
on.
everybody has a muscle, babies, everybody,
Absolutely,
animals.
absolutely. All
Yeah.
living organisms.
All living organisms, proteins,
Yes.
muscles, but yeah. So
Exactly.
Adrian, where could people find you if they want to reach you?
Oh, wow. Thank you. They can reach me at energyforlife.energy/calendar. Energyforlife.energy/calendar.
Okay, and are you on any social media or anything like that?
Absolutely. Yes, I have a private Facebook group. I'm on LinkedIn. I have an email list as well too. But the best way to reach me is grab me on my scheduler, and then from there you can ask me for either my LinkedIn page or you can just go to Adrian Swim Simmons LinkedIn, my private Facebook group. Gosh, I don't remember my tag on my private Facebook group. Just you know what, Adrian Simmons, and see what comes up.
Okay. All right. So yeah, thank you, Adrian. This has been like great. I've definitely learned a lot of things. I'm definitely gonna take a look at my own diet and how I'm feeding myself. I got a lot of gems from you, and I'm sure all the listeners will as well. So yeah, again, thank you so much, and you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for having me, listeners. The last thing I'm going to say is, you know what? You only have one life left. What's past is past. So if you choose to live the life you have left, Why not live it with vitality? Take care. Have a wonderful weekend ahead.
Oh,
Nice to meet you.